you know what we're doing today?
Yeah, we're talking about Doctor Who music, and you told me to prepare. So in my time-honored tradition, I didn't really understand what you were asking me, I thought that we'd wing it on the day. Well,
yeah,
I would.
I kind of figured that.
Because you know what you're doing. You've got copious notes.
I've got all my notes here. Rob told me what to do, what we need to do. We need to talk about today. We've been assigned. We've been sent on a mission by the Time Lords. Did you know we got sent on a mission by the Time Lords?
I know this is a prequel called The Night of the Doctor's Music.
Yes.
You like that?
It is. Yeah, retroactively it is. Are you Stephen Moffat?
Yeah, yes. You can tell because in the evening, I'm a dish cleaner. I use my head as a Brillo pad.
Oh, I see.
So there you go. Yeah.
You know, we're doing a prequel. This is our prequel to Rob Irwin. Rob and Dave, they're going to be doing a special on the music of Doctor Who. And I was chatting with Rob, and I said, well, maybe we can do a little something. He said, why don't you do your own little thing on fandom music?
Why am I here, then, if you're doing it on your own?
I need you here because you are my doctor. You're my doctor!
Thank you.
You're my Dark Journey doctor.
Thank you.
And
I thought,
who better to bring in this talk about fandom and fandom music than my partner in crime on AM Audio Media. And, you know, we know a bit about fandom music.
Yeah, we do.
This podcast is going to be talking about all the fandom music that we all love, from everything from SoundCloud and YouTube and iTunes.
Custom arrangements that people do.
Yeah, we've got, you know, we're going to cover everything from 8-bit video game music to the weird and wonderful acapella music, everything in between.
Yes.
Orchestral string. We're going to talk about everything. And we're going to have some friends along the way. We're going to have some companions on our journey.
Who's arriving?
Dematerializing throughout the show, our fan music companions who will be time-scooping Gallifrey's greatest hits include Randy and Jesse over at the EMC Podcast Network, where they host the Grolix Podcast, Todd Poole from Droids Canada, Ken, Kylan, Don, and Vicky over at Geek Watch 1.
Right.
Paul Elves from
the Book Guys
podcast. We chatted with them a couple months back. They are
I remember
based
that.
Toronto
He's the James
well.
Lipton of Doctor Who interviews.
He certainly is. Other friends of Doctor Who Dark Journey, Mike, Kylan, and Eric over at Mighty Marvel Geeks will be joining us, as well as the Heart of Fandom itself, creator of the Tangent Bound Network, and super swell guy, Mark. He'll be stopping in also. Rob, who's the real host of this podcast, when it's not being hurdled up by you and I, will transmit in, along with fellow audio drama producer Dr. Squee from Gallifrey Stands. And those lovable nitwits, Neil and Johnny, who are drinking in the park.
Oh! Neil and Johnny. Who's
Neil
the boss?
Johnny.
Bringing a bit of 80s flavor podcast then.
Yeah, they still think that Tony Danza is one of the doctors. I'm not sure about those guys.
Isn't he?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why you're perfect to talk about fan-made music, because it's all unofficial. It's all, as you're quite fond of saying, it's all not real.
It's all, yes, exactly.
But let's kick it off. What's some of our experience with fan-made music? I mean, obviously, we produced the Dark Journey series featuring you as the Doctor.
Thank you.
Which you may remember.
Thank you. Ably assisted by you in a way that got the whole thing made.
No, I just held the microphone.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I taped it to the end of a vacuum. And,
yes.
You know, made it all.
Farewell, my little boot mic.
So I mean, obviously, what we just heard from was a bit of Traffic Experiment with their hit Vasha Narada.
Yeah.
Fantastic track. Kind of
try
a prog
that when
rock.
You're drunk.
Prog rock. You like the prog rock?
I like prog rock. I like saying it.
Yeah.
I like
saying
it.
Well, you should do. It's your theme tune.
It is. It's a great tune, and someone else is using it as their theme tune.
Yeah, it's
and
around.
I got a little bit territorial, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I thought to myself, this is the song that we took from somebody.
Yeah, which they took from the BBC.
Exactly. They can't be taking it from us that took it from the BBC, that took it from them.
It's outrageous.
It is. But it was good. I'm a huge fan of a lot of Doctor Who music on YouTube. Hardwire, I believe, is the ID of the composer. I love a lot of their themes. I don't know who's responsible for making them.
I think that's Chris Adams, and they're the UK.
I've seen videos of he's done. Yeah. He's fantastic. He's really, really good.
Now, they're one of the ones that have kind of set the gold standard, too, of like stuff that's out there. They've been around for so long doing it.
Yeah, they have. And they do very good arrangements. I personally like a Doctor Who theme that's a little bit faster in tempo. Mm-hmm. I was a huge fan of the David Tennant theme in his last season. Mm-hmm. And I wish they would.
Yeah.
I think Matt Smith's sounds a little bit like the X-Files. Mm-hmm. The main bit sounds a little bit too high for me. Whereas, and I always think they should have the middle eight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the middle eight, yeah.
Yeah, and, but I would play around with it, put it at the beginning.
Then it wouldn't be the middle, though.
Well, it'd be the beginning eight.
It's,
leave you wanting more in the middle. Okay? Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, and nothing at the end.
Hey, this is Randy.
And this is Jesse.
We're from the Grawlix Podcast at GrawlixPodcast.com. We're here to talk a little bit about Doctor Who fan music.
Because we do a comic book podcast.
Yeah. Hey. Hey. Now, I don't know if I took it out of our show description, but Doctor Who was the one thing I always used to include in our show description. Be like, we talk about comic books and sometimes Doctor Who, just to have that. What's that insurance? Yeah, exactly. First off, I want to thank Rob and the Doctor Who Show for letting us on, as well as AM Audio Media, who reached out to us. We know them through the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Our show is on that network, but also I run the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. So they've been with us for a while. And Doctor Who Dark Journey is great. Have you guys listened to that yet? You need to.
Yeah, get on that.
We're from the U.S. We're from right in the middle of the U.S. Right in the middle.
Where there's cornfields and tears.
Cornfields and tears. Yep.
And football.
Oh, yeah. That's where we live.
So, Randy, what are we talking about today?
We've been asked to talk about Doctor Who fan music. That is, the way I took it, as music, either like covers or remixes of existing Doctor Who music, or Doctor Who inspired music, or homages to Doctor Who made in a non-official capacity. let's talk about Doctor Who inspired music, and you have some interesting recommendations that I think will lead into a kind of a conversation about the line of what makes something fan music.
Okay, well, the two that I'm going to recommend today, and maybe I won't be the first to recommend this first one, but Chameleon Circuit, and they've been around for a while, and they're kind of more of a like a rock tribute type of band, but they've been using they're based out of the UK, and they've been using like the theme music and their own instruments to create kind of like Weird Al level parody type songs. And they came onto my radar with their newest album, which is entitled Still Got Legs. You know, kind of I think that one came out right around the same time that Matt Smith must have joined the show, and one of the tracks was Still Not Ginger, and so that one, you know, for people who can't see me because this is audio, I'm a ginger, and I've always enjoyed that line as uttered by David Tennant's Doctor. There's a lot of fun tracks on that album, and one of them is a track called The Sound of Drums, and it is based on the theme of the Master, specifically the Master in the modern series, but you know, like they pull in references throughout the song. So that'd be my first recommendation, and it's got a, like I said, it's got a little more of a rock sound. And then my second recommendation is by a rapper, I don't know if you would term him a nerdcore rapper or just a rapper who is also a nerd, but he's a Canadian rapper named More or Less, and it's Less spelled L-E-S, dropping the second S. And he did a mixtape, which is called Bigger on the Inside, and then subtitled A Time Traveler's Mixtape. And he basically takes these tracks and produces beats out of them, the themes to the show, and then raps over top of them. And you're like, out of the two, I'm a big fan of them both, but More or Less, I am just kind of blown away by his tracks.
Yeah, me too.
In fact, I sent you like right after I discovered him, the one that really just blew my mind was a track called Bigger on the Inside, and I sent you a Spotify link. You can find both of these artists on Spotify, and I sent you Bigger on the Inside because it blew my mind. It's like he took the theme, the intro theme to the show, you know, like that classic that whole thing, and he split it up, like he broke it down and he rapped over top of it, and I was just like mind blown. Okay, drop the mic, this guy wins.
We're here in a studio, the BBC's Radiophonic Workshop, and it's here that the electronic music and sounds for the BBC television series Doctor Who are composed and recorded.
It was a Type 40, Mark 3, T-A-R-D-I-S, awfully gorgeous coffee. Too hurt to leave my home world, and I could not resist, so I said goodbye to boredom. Started her up, started exploring the universe, time and space, because the ship could do the two of them. Alien race that I'm a part of, into ruling them. Well, more like overseeing, that was my problem, being unable to experience anything due to non-interference, not in the spirit of living. So my mission lived life to the fullest, easily accomplished with this magic trick of bullet. Called regeneration, recover from any fatal wound. My personality changes from my appearance to, from holding the walkers to do a recorded claim. Universe and polarity force bearing us, like 6 meters too long. My ship travels through space and time and is bigger on the inside. My ship travels through space and time and is bigger on the inside. My small ship travels through space and time and is bigger on the inside. My ship travels through space and time and is bigger, 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 bigger. Time Lord Renegade from the planet Gallifrey, always on the run escape, death traps and left back. Aliens on Earth, it's it, usually press a human again. A companion traveling with me, stay in that old ship that disguises a police box made on 20th century approaches. Chameleon circuit is to blame, yes, that's just left at a form forever endeavor to bullet a hole in space and never surrender the cosmic infinite amount of them and a giant salt and pepper shake. Great that they never got into the ship, cause the TARDIS state of grace is always on the fritz, and the eye of harmony getting ripped open is a hitch nobody wants. Every sun exploding stops a lot of stuff from happening. Run a ship, but not the captain. A doctor, the man who makes people better, don't bother to ask for my name, it'll never be spoken. But I'll ask if it's cool to wear a vest. The answer is yes, 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 yes.
The tune I always think of when anyone mentions Doctor Who is the high-pitched one, the...
Well, that was done on this machine here.
Mm-hmm. planet a visit. Every possible world, if I'm given the opportunity. But the one I see most often is Earth. Of all the ones aliens want to take over, it's the first on their list. And since time can be rewritten, I will fight to keep a heart and timepiece ticking with no guns, no fun for some. Me, I'd rather use my brain to hunt a sonic screwdriver to kill no one. My shit travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My shit travels through space and time, and is bigger on the inside. My small shit travels through space and time.
That's how most records are made, isn't it, these
That's
days?
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
I think More or Less is interesting because it's fan music, and he's using, like, there are sampled themes and stuff like that, but it's I don't know, when I initially think of fan music, fan-created music for Doctor Who, I kind of thought remixes of tracks or covers, but More or Less falls into, like, there are tracks from points of view of the characters in the show, like, as if they were, you know, the lyrics will be from the point of view of the master or something like that.
And then there's a track about all the companions. I think that was one that I was like, whoa, just rapped for 5 minutes about every companion that ever was in the 50 plus year run of the show.
Yeah, that one's fantastic. I really like that one. That's one of the standout ones for me.
So you talked about fan music being typically a remix of Doctor Who themes. Tell us a little bit about yours.
This is actually quite a while back. I make music, and I believe it was, I think 2013, actually, I put this track together, and I did a cover of the Doctor Who theme song, because I'm a nerd like that, I guess. And it's not currently online, although if AM Audio Media decides to include it, you'll be able to hear it here. I didn't want to do an exact cover, and I opted to focus on the original theme versus like the more modern theme. The more modern theme is a little bit more complex. They've added some parts to it, added some sections, some flourishes and stuff. And I really like the stripped down basic version of the theme. So I opted for that and then did some strange flourishes on my own. At one point in the song, it veers off into arguably not the theme at all. While putting the song together, I just kind of like let it evolve into something else before, I believe, tying it back up towards the end, bringing it back to the recognizable theme. And then for some reason, added a breakbeat influence on some of the drums for some reason. I don't know why. Apparently that's just what I was feeling at the time. And that was up online for a while before I kind of got nervous about, I'm extra paranoid about copyright notices and stuff like that, copyright takedowns. I just don't want to deal with that. Outside of that, I had planned for a long time a full Doctor Who themed album. I wish I'd have released it now that we're talking about it on the Doctor Who show, because I got about half of the album produced for my project Super Science, which if you're going to check me out, I recommend checking out superscience.bandcamp.com. I don't know if you just listening to the tracks, if you'd have been like, this is Doctor Who music, but I wanted all the track titles to be references to Doctor Who throughout the whole time span of the series. And so if that ever happens, I will shove it your guys' way. I kind of wanted to use all that as a segue, other than some self-promotion, to talk about the legality aspect of it. Now, we're not lawyers, but so I think we can approach this mostly from a standpoint of like opinion and a little bit of our experience. The reason I took my track down was at one point SoundCloud started cracking down on copyright infringement because they were getting attacked by record labels. And it's not just SoundCloud. You'll see that on, obviously, YouTube was one of the first big places online that you'd mm-hmm. have to worry about where that became a serious issue. But I've even heard of it now in terms of podcasts on iTunes. Personally, the way I feel is like fan work should be protected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way a lot of people still approach it, is if you're not making money off of it and you're not harming the brand,
right?
A lot of companies will leave you alone, but that's not...
And that's kind of the definition of fair use.
Yeah. If you're using a company's property in any way, they can come after you. Luckily, I think a lot of fan projects fall into an area where they're dealing with the company's goodwill, right? Like, so where that gets interesting is in, for example, Jesse's recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Chameleon Circuit, it sounds like they're doing kind of parodies close to covers, and that's actually a lot easier to deal with legally. Like, you can pay to cover a song, pay the royalties, and that's not so bad. But then in the case of More or Less, you get into sample use. Since the early days of hip hop, that's been a sticky situation legally.
And I think it also has to do a little bit with like how much do you alter the original.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see it a lot in like logo use. It becomes parody, or it becomes permissible if it has been altered at least 10%. And that's maybe an arbitrary number that my memory concocted. But there's like a percentage that you have to be able to prove, at least in the United States, that you have altered this before it's going to be safe, quote unquote, safe for you. Looking at the tracks, I would say that he has changed each of those tracks by 10% or more. And I don't know if that's how it applies with music. It may be totally different between images and music.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I'm not sure, because anytime I've heard about any hard and fast rules like that, I've also then heard to the contrary.
Yeah.
I think so long as the internet is still around, even if companies were like, we're done with all this fan stuff, which would just be a mistake because mm-hmm. that's their audience. They're not going to be able to stamp out fan productions, fan music, fan art. It's just the nature of the internet, even if the YouTubes and SoundClouds and all those, even if they crack down 100% where nothing could get through, which would be impossible, there'd be other services that would sprout up, because, you know, that's a big part of the appeal to those services, is anybody can go on there and put something out, and a lot of people are going to want to tribute the things they like. They're going to want to contribute in some way to these properties that they are... So taken with. Thanks for listening to us ramble.
If you want to hear more rambles from us, please listen to the Grolix podcast at groluxpodcast.com.
We even talk about Doctor Who once in a while.
Our show is actually spinned out of an episode that was completely about Doctor Who on a different podcast.
That's true. That's, yeah, you're completely right. Capaldi's the best.
Don't ever leave us. Don't leave us.
Hi everyone, this is Todd Poole from the Droids Canada podcast, from Welland, Ontario, Canada. We do an outrageous and offensive podcast that talks movies and TV, does celebrity interviews, covers Comic Cons, and gets totally off topic. But staying on topic for a moment, I'd like to share with The Doctor Who Show, a really cool fan-made Doctor Who song by Pisces Rising. Anyone who knows me knows that I love movie soundtracks and TV soundtracks, especially when it's a huge orchestra. And that's what Pisces Rising does. It takes the Doctor Who theme that is iconic and everyone knows from the many, many different years of Doctor Who being around and puts it more in an epic-based type orchestra music. Now, the music has changed many times over the years with small variations, but it always kept true to Doctor Who. Pisces Rising adds more of an epic feeling to it. So it's very interesting to listen to, and watching it, the actual video of the music is pretty awesome to watch itself. For the Doctor Who Show, I'm Todd Poole. Here is Pisces Rising playing the epic Doctor Who theme.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff on the SoundCloud that I came across that is, it's called the PMJ25595. It's a long, it's a mouthful there, but they do a really good track called the Doctor Who Legend stuff.
Right.
It's really good. And they've got another one called Chapter 11. It's very, very deep and bassy and very much in kind of the theme that you were talking about. A little bit faster, a little bit more kind of adventuresome.
Yeah.
And that's the, I guess the fun thing is there's so much out there that's just different. It's like new takes on sort of the classic on, you know, they take out the really good bits and then they kind of give you exactly what you want, right?
Yeah.
You've laughed with the award-winning American version of The Office. You've cried with the critically acclaimed American version of Broadchurch. Prepare to shrug your shoulders at the highly derivative American version of Doctor Who. He's back, and it's about time.
Jan, I'm sorry. I'm regenerating.
And I'm... American!
Doctor Who, like you've never... seen it before.
Hold me, Doctor Who, and kiss me like you've never kissed me before.
Cool beans, my Russian doll.
Oh. Oh.
Taste my sonic flux, Sontaran scum. American!
The Doctor, the enemy of the Daleks!
Prepare to die, Daleks! I have the right! I'm Time Lord Victorious! Yeah!
Yeah!
American!
Danger has a new name, and that name is Doctor Who, Dark Odyssey. Atway Atway is Doctor Who.
American!
Featuring Paul Thomas Manns as the Master and
Maren Lalonde
as the buxom Time Lord-loving Russian spy who loves to love him.
Hey, Geeksters. I'm Ken.
I'm Kylan.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Vicky.
And we're Geek Watch 1. And that was a clip from the Doctor Who Dark Odyssey by our friends over at AM Audio Media, with sound design by Kevin Gray and music by Joshua Benjamin Henning. We actually had Mike and Atway from AM Audio Media on our show about a year and a half ago when they were getting ready to put out Doctor Who Dark Journey.
Right. That's right. It was way back on episode 11 that we had them on.
We actually almost fell off the couches with what you just heard. This was phenomenal. I mean, this is the way I would think if someone was making an American Doctor Who. They got everything you could get American in there.
Well, you know, it seemed like I remember when we had them on, they were talking about including a lot of guns. I think that's
an American version, it has to have a lot of guns and explosions.
So, you know. Yeah, I think he really loved the idea of mixing all the best stereotypical ideas of an American with, I guess, what you get when you have an immortal Time Lord or fairly immortal Time Lord.
Yeah, imagine the the Doctor, who's been this British guy for centuries, all of a sudden becomes an American.
And he has to tell you that at every instance.
Yes. Now, another one on here, the thing that AM Audio does really well, is their music is basically the oxygen of their show, just like in Doctor Who. In Doctor Who, the soundtracks are amazing with some of the stuff they've done.
Right.
But what they did on this was fantastic. It's different enough that you know it's not from the TV show, but it's still the Doctor Who themes.
This version of the Doctor Who theme, although it's still iconic Doctor Who, there's almost like it feels like a dark wave mix to it, which I love dark wave anyway. So it just seems like a really cool, you can almost just kick back and chill and listen to this, but at the same time it fits with the world that they've created.
Yeah, it definitely creates more of an atmosphere to have the sound that they have with mixing of unquestionably Doctor Who. Like, you can't listen to the music that's in their shows and not think Doctor Who. It's definitely there.
Right.
And it gives, like, the whole atmosphere and just being in the background a lot of the times.
Speaking of Dark Wave, what you're going to hear next is a Dark Doctor theme, also by Joshua Benjamin Hemming. So, from all of us Geek Watch 1, we'll see you guys next time, and enjoy the rest of the Doctor Who Show podcast.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Andrew. Professor, I know this is just a short segment, but every segment needs a theme song, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, let's hit it.
Now it sounds like a Mexican song.
Arriba!
Doctor Who. Doctor Who theme song.
I would work a little on the lyrics, but still, it's not bad.
It's the lyrics that do it. That's, of course, the very talented Jeff Smith when he was on one of our other podcasts. Just completely off the top of his head. And those lyrics now have stuck in my head like an earworm. Every time I watch the show now, right before, you know, the show starts, it's Doctor Who theme song. We've ruined the theme for all the listeners now. So greetings, Doctor Who Show listeners. I'm Paul Alves.
I'm Professor Allen.
And we're here to talk about some of our favorite fan-made Doctor Who music. There's a lot of great stuff out there. I mean, Professor, you could just stay for hours on YouTube Googling Doctor Who.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when I was thinking about some of the songs we're going to play, I thought, were there any that actually hit the mainstream, that actually hit the charts? And yeah, I do remember. There is one that's in my 80s collection here. I'm going to fire off a little bit of this.
Hey, Doctor Who, Doctor Who.
So that's Doctor in the TARDIS by the Time Lords. I remember this was huge on MTV back in the day when MTV still played music videos. They had some success. I own the record album.
Oh, wow. That is going deep.
That's way back, way back. You got something a little bit more modern day, do you not?
I've got a band called Chameleon Circuit, who has a pretty long database of sci-fi songs, Doctor Who in particular. And my favorite one is An Awful Lot of Running. Got a long musical intro.
Oh, it's hardcore though.
He is like fire, burning through time, as old as forever, the fast in his prime.
Hardcore. It could be like a War Doctor theme song almost. I got surprised by my next pick here. And it's not really a fan made song. It's just a very important and famous and popular band that I didn't know that they snuck Doctor Who into all their live performances. And I only found out this when I was watching Australian Pink Floyd here in Toronto. Mm. And I thought for a second I was hallucinating because I was hearing the Doctor Who theme song. And then I looked it up and I found that, because I've never watched Pink Floyd live, that they threw a whole bunch of Doctor Who into their live stuff. And they even named a couple of their the last songs on the last album by after Doctor Who-related themes. This is actual Pink Floyd, not like Fake Floyd or Laser Floyd. That kind of makes me think they're fans, especially since they've named some songs after, but maybe they're just trying to trip out their audience members. I don't know.
Well, I mean, here's one key thing. 50-plus years later, that basic song, it's still really good.
Yeah, cheers to Ron Grainer for the composition.
And it works just how many different versions and takes you can put on it. That absolutely. Theme song is pretty darn awesome. I got one more from a Filk band called Too Hip for the Room, and they just specialize in pop songs about the X-Files or monster movies,
right,
or whatever.
Right, nice.
And they have one called Call Me Doctor Who.
Ooh. Oh, not as hardcore as your last pick.
I'm Doctor Who.
This is great.
Princess Leia's fans, adoring Alderaans, they think I haven't a clue. Call me
Doctor Who. That's nice.
And the idea of that song is that was written during the dark period.
Gotcha.
And it's about Doctor Who was the forgotten sci-fi star, so there's some irony in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
With as big as he has become in the last decade or so.
We're out of time, Professor Allen, but we might as well end off the way we started with the very talented Jeff Smith, and actually my favorite Doctor
it's
Who fan song.
Beautiful, beautiful.
A very beautiful song. And this is Fantastic Rose by Jeff Smith. Bye, everybody.
If you walk away from me, well, you know that I would hope that it would sure as hell be better than everything. And all that I've let you see. Tell your mama said hello. Tell her sorry that I ever let you go. Far from the life you knew. And all that I put you through. But don't let the time that you knew broke me. Now that you're free, Rose, you're fantastic. You know, if it can't last, you will always be the one who knows. You'll always be my Rose, fantastic Rose. Remember how it all began. All you had to do was hold my hand. And we've been running all this time, it seems. What does it really mean? It seems like a million years. So how's it all disappeared? Are you still here? Rose, you're fantastic. You know, if it can't last, you will always be the one who knows. You'll always be my Rose, fantastic Rose. Oh, all that I ever could show you was love. But you know just where to cut me, and you did, right through the bone. But somehow I'm never alone. Rose, you're fantastic, you know. If it can't last, you'll always be the one who knows. You'll always be my Rose, fantastic Rose, you're fantastic, you know. If it can't last, you will always be the one who knows. You'll always be my Rose, you'll always be my Rose, fantastic Rose.
Oh, I'm dazed and confused. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Tom Rory Parsons. I live in Essex, which is in the UK. I'm a composer, musician and sound designer. You can find me on Facebook, SoundCloud and Twitter. This piece is called Preparing for Battle, which I wrote last year purely for fun. I've been very much inspired by the big orchestral scores in the new series of Doctor Who and have been trying to get mine anywhere near as good as those. Please stay tuned and later on you'll hear another piece of mine inspired by the classic series, which is called I Am an Alien. Do enjoy.
Bad for them to just basically redo the original one, mm-hmm. because I actually watched all four episodes of An Unearthly Child mm-hmm. Last weekend, mm-hmm. and which is incredibly good when you watch it. Mm-hmm. You can't really get an opinion from not watching it, but it's when you really watch it, it's like you think, well, this is good, and you realize how kind of different and sometimes kind of, you know, psychotic, you know, the Doctor was.
Right.
I mean, he's electrocuting Ian Chesterton, and mm-hmm. you know, he looks a bit kind of demented and stuff. Anyway, yeah, the music, the original music, I don't think he can beat.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of like the drastic sort of what you call it? I guess it, like cover remakes in just in a different style. So you've got like a cappella stuff. Like there's a really good a cappella one by The Warp Zone. There's Taylor Davis, who does a really good violin cover. The Harp Twins?
Yes, the Harp Twins.
The Harp Twins, yeah.
Yeah. They do themes for Game of Thrones,
yeah.
And it came to my realization the other day that the Doctor Who theme
yes
is my favorite song.
Your favorite song?
Yeah, it is my favorite song. Uh-huh. Previous to that, it used to be Who Are You by The Who.
Yeah.
All Things Rush.
Yeah.
But to me, yeah. I put on the Doctor Who theme and it's got the best emotional response from me personally.
Mine is Come On Eileen, but that might just because I'm trying to pander to the Australian audience.
Oh. Yeah. Well, they're not Australian.
Sure they are.
What, Dexy's Midnight Runners?
Yeah.
Well, they are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Retroactively.
Well, if you want to continue on that theme, a little bit of pandering on a Tuesday.
Okay.
I personally will now say that
By Tuesday, you mean the weekend, which is when this podcast comes out.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I won't say timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
No, who's going to do that?
The theme tune for Crocodile Dundee, I think, is my favorite. That Ain't a Knife.
That's not a theme song.
That's not a theme song. And I'm loving that. That's now jumped up there.
Okay, all right. Have you ever heard this one? It's called In Defense of Time Lash. And it is a really funny
Scottish rap.
No, really. And this guy, he defends Time Lash. It's very, very funny. It's by B-Side Boy.
So bad, I rather like the Borat. Sure, it is garish and overlit, but it has several good bits. The Malin's aged to death quite well. The blue-faced android is rather swell. If you don't like the twin dilemma, I can assure you this is marginally better.
La 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 Time Lash. La 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 Time Lash. La 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 Time Lash. Time Lash.
I like H.G. Wells and even Colin Baker, except when him and Perry bicker. The signs of padding, I've no doubt. And what are those beekeepers all about? It's a new romantic pantomime on 80 Saturday prime time. But it's 90 minutes you'll never get back, and that's the sad underlying fact.
La 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 Time Lash. La 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 Time Lash.
Hey, it's Mike, Kylan, and Eric from Mighty Marvel Geeks. And we've been asked on the topic of fan music. Well, specifically Doctor Who fan music and our thoughts on it and fan music in general. Personally, I think I might have heard one or two over on the old Dr. Domino show.
The one that I will always remember will be the Time Lord's Doctor in the TARDIS.
Yes. I found that CD single and I jumped on it. And
I have that.
It's a great CD single. Like, it's, well, you just got like 15 different remixes of the song, but it's a great song. And, you know, it's one of those songs. And I think whenever I hear Rock and Roll, is it Rock and Roll Part 2?
Whenever
I hear Rock and Roll Part 2, I'm actually singing Doctor in the TARDIS instead of, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's funny because, you know, a lot of the fan music, it has a success with its core audience. Like, say, you know, Star Trekking by the Firm. I mean, it was a hit with Trekkies.
Yes.
But it's not that big of a, it's typically not that big of a hit outside the niche.
It's one of those, you have to go looking for it.
You do.
But Doctor in the TARDIS was not one of those. It actually did very well. It actually reached number one on the UK singles chart in 1988.
Hey, you know what? There were a couple of clubs, that was back in my clubbing days because I loved to dance. There were a couple of DJs that had that in their rotation, you know? And so, it did my geeky heart good, you know, to be out there, you know, having a good time, and all of a sudden, you know, Doctor in the TARDIS comes on.
Yeah, well just fan music in general, I mean, it has its place, just like fan films or fan fiction.
Or fan art.
Yeah. Exactly. Does it look at the two from Weird Al Yankovic? The Saga Begins and Yoda. Some great tunes.
Right.
And we are counting him as fan music, right? Because
I think he does
parodies. He does he does original music as well, but I don't see how you really couldn't count him.
No.
Because you got to be a fan of this to do it.
Right.
Well,
right.
And he is a fan of Star Wars. I mean, he's an honorary member of the 501st and the Rebel Legion.
Mm-hmm.
So
makes him a double agent, doesn't he?
Sounds
sort
like
of. Well, he will be performing at the 501st get together at Celebration this year. What are some of the others out there?
Well, there's a CD.
I just need to find it.
There's a CD out there that has a song for every doctor, and I think it has all 13 doctors.
Wow.
But it's a British import, and so like there's a song. There's DJ put together mixes for each of the doctors. A friend of mine who's a big Whovian has it, and it's just like it's a great list, you know. And it's kind of, you know, it's awesome when you're really into something to be able to experience that on a music level as well. But you know, like with the Doctor Who stuff, especially he has a resurgence in popularity. So, you know, you do have to do some searching, but I get the feeling that there may be more out there than we expect.
Could be. But that's our take from the Mighty Marvel Geeks side of things about Doctor Who. We'd love to see the Doctor maybe one day have his own line on Marvel.
He did at one point, actually.
So there's how we throw Marvel back into it.
Yeah, back in the 70s.
Hey, Jarvis, if you would.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just back to Mike and Andy.
You know what occurred to me? You don't know the answer to this question, so I'll just tell you. There's a lot of Doctor Who that I haven't seen. And
really?
You just reminded me that I may not have seen Time Lash. Is H.G. Wells in it?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it in a long time. I think there's an airplane involved. Is that the one where they're on the Concorde?
No, that's Time Flight.
Oh. Why do they make so many titles with the same like thing? Time.
Time Monster. Time and the Rani.
Mm-hmm. Time After Time.
Time for the next question.
Have you seen Architect?
Which one?
Architect is the ones, they're the guys they perform with Tesla coils, and they're like out there in like futuristic suits, and they're like
Yeah, actually, that, yeah. I have seen them, and I got overcharged for the seats. That was very good.
But that's pretty cool, because they're combining, like, you know, science fiction with real electricity. Science, and electricity is in the air.
But is there, with all due respect,
yeah,
I don't recall many people asking for that before it arrived on the scene. Like, you know what, this theme tune would be awesome if I just had three big voltmeters. Everyone, I had front row floors, and everyone was going, What?
Oh, like, I get it.
Yeah,
I
it's not
it.
Good. Okay,
I'll fix it in post.
Meaning no one's going to hear this.
Andrew, do you want to tell us a bit about one of your favorite, I think, fan-made Doctor Who songs? I'm not trying to build this up here too much, or artists, I should say, but Two Steps from Hell.
Well, they're not really. They're linked with it. I think they did a couple of trailer songs.
They're official, but they're kind of they're on the fringes
them.
There. Yeah,
I love them. They do
producing their own things.
Yeah, usually with dragons or some side of robot woman.
Yeah,
They're great. They're great, and all the great trailer stuff that you've heard is probably down to these guys.
Yeah,
yeah, kind of stuff? Yeah. I think they did a song called Tristan, which is like really, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not a name that conjures up big orchestral music. It's
right.
Tristan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not really. Dun, 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 dun. And that song is
called Oliver. It's like a millennial's
name. It's called Oliver. But it's really good stuff. I think they did a song for one of the trailers, maybe season 6 and season 5.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I did before. I love their stuff.
I know you're so keen on it that when you were talking with some of our composers, you were telling them to kind of infuse some of that flavor into what they were doing as well, right? Specifically, I think, was it
David Goody?
Yes, I think it was David Goody. Yes.
Yeah, David Goody. Yes, and he came up with his own version of a song for episode 5 of season 2, which was the big train chase with the Bonesman and the Doctor upside down, and Holmes and Cassandra battling on the TARDIS, and Fred keeping the show going. Yeah, mm-hmm. He did his own version of it, mm-hmm. which kind of starts off in this kind of heartbeat kind of way, and yeah, he did a great job. Yeah, I love their stuff, and his stuff was absolutely fantastic.
Doctor, I can see her down there on the chamber floor.
Come to me. Be with me.
She's vanished.
Doctor, something approaching. 400 yards and closing.
One life form.
Oh, and 327 bonesmen. Okay, go do your doctor thing, okay?
A train, and they have Emily aboard!
Emily can still be used as a sacrifice? You said we had 58, 40, then 18 minutes. How long do we have now?
I don't know. I just do those countdowns to get you excited, get you moving.
Doctor!
The alignment has passed, but you have to factor in one crucial fact.
What?
I'm not 100% sure. They can still manifest. I don't know everything. This whole business hasn't exactly gone as planned, has it? Fred, put your foot down!
But the engines, Doctor!
Frederick? War horsepower, if you will.
Frederick!
Can you get Emily onto the TARDIS? An energy pool!
There's too much psychic disturbance!
Emily!
You can speak to her?
Now I can. The pendant I gave her. They were shielding her before.
Doctor?
Yes, it is me. Listen to me closely.
Is my baby safe?
He's fine. I need you to get to the top of the train.
I can't.
You can. Remember when we were looking at the stars? You mentioned your mom. Tell me what she said.
She told me about the angels watching over me. Yes, I remember.
Tell me how you feel.
I'm afraid.
Tell me how you felt when he was born. Go past the fear. It's nothing. Tell me.
Elated. He was so small. It was a difficult birth. I almost lost him, but there he was. I held him so close. I could feel him breathing, taking in life. If he stopped breathing, no. I knew I would die too.
And he was fine, and you will be.
Yes.
Come to us. We're over the train looking down at you.
My mum was right.
Mums always are. She's with you. Work them angels, my dear. Go now.
Yeah, and I guess in along with that too, we had a couple of other great composers along our fan music audio journey. We had
Emily Klassen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Lovely, kind of magical, kind of haunting kind of music.
Yes.
Very weird in places. We had a scene in one of the episodes where the Doctor goes into his memory chamber, and we hear all kinds of, you know, characters from the
throwbacks
past.
Throwbacks to the past.
And real characters and real clips and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it had a kind of a weird, ethereal kind of machine sort of sound that...
it was very unique.
Very sci-fi, yeah.
It was very unique. I can't get into the mindset of how people... Like, if someone said to me now, like, think of something ethereal and, you know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do it, you know what I mean? But even though perhaps I do have inspiration. Yeah, Emily's stuff was absolutely fantastic and very, yeah, very ethereal, which matched the scene mm-hmm. perfectly, I think. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. it was difficult to, because it's all dialogue-based.
Yeah.
So you don't have any real distractions for the audience, so mm-hmm. it was great, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Another one of our friends along the journey was Joshua Benjamin Hemming.
JBH to his friends.
JBH, yeah, who'd laid down some sweet, sick, fly tracks.
Yeah.
I was going to try to put another adjective in there, but...
Bass-tastic.
Yeah, totally bass-tastic stuff.
Yeah. He was... Josh is great, and Josh really added... I know it sounds a bit daft, because it's audio, but when you listen to the first two episodes, and he did subsequent stuff as well, he made it sound very cinematic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It sounded like a movie, mm-hmm. Which was fantastic. When you think about the Bonesmen and their manifestation, and Holmes and the Doctor on the way... You know, when we listened to Josh's stuff, it really was absolutely, you know, brilliant. And he tells a story with the music. There's an interesting little bit at the end of episode two where the Doctor and Holmes are in the balloon on the way to Big Ben. Well, shortly to crash into Big Ben. And there's going to be a sacrifice and they're trying to stop it with the Bonesmen. But he does a thing with the music where they're talking about Holmes being the beacon, which is the heroic theme of it. And then when we go to the scene with the Bonesman, the music kind of, it's all very heroic and inspiring. And then it kind of goes, and does this mm-hmm. weird, and it's really the twisting of the heroism against, you know, the forthcoming kind of cult and the evil of them. The first time I listened to it, I thought, wow, I don't really get what he was doing. But then I worked it out and it works very well. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. His stuff is fantastic. Yeah.
And I mean, what kind of stuff do you like as a writer? I know that you use music as kind of an inspiration to do some of the writing and stuff. What kind of stuff do you like to have on in the background when you're writing?
Whether
it be like, you know, official stuff or fan made stuff or
I would say fan made stuff really is where it's normally at. Mm-hmm. I love Two Steps from Hell. Mm-hmm. There's another couple of people I have discovered that we can probably put links to because the name escapes me. Mm-hmm.
What kind of sound do you enjoy? What kind of thing, and what do you think that fans are out there? What are they listening for? What are they after?
Well, I think you want something evocative, mm-hmm. and I think you want something that music that kind of tells a story, mm-hmm. And I think you want, you know, the Doctor Who music that's obviously now become very much its own thing with Murray Gold and the Philharmonic and all this kind of stuff. And the shows they put on at the Royal Albert Hall and all this business, I think it has to stir up emotions of adventure and hope, and sometimes be a little bit sort of melancholy mm-hmm. as well, but only in certain places. But yeah. Overall, it's got to be adventurous and it's got to be hopeful. And I think all the new themes, I mean, I think the music now kind of stands out in a way that... It never did in the... It never got the exposure in the old series.
Yeah.
Now it's literally a thing unto itself.
Yeah. I was talking with a really good artist. His name's... he goes by Gwylock One. I think he's calling himself Fighting the Muse now. Lots of fun names out there on YouTube and SoundCloud and stuff. He's got this really good one called The Rapture Remade. And he's also done... which is, you know, its own take on Doctor Who music. And he's also got all the themes, all the classic themes, all at once.
We'll be right back. Hi, this is Todd Poole again from the Droids Canada podcast. That was another great fan-made Doctor Who cover by Sonia Belousova, also known from Player Piano on YouTube. Now, the YouTube video really provides a very good Doctor Who feel. It introduces the TARDIS, you have a TARDIS-themed out piano, and it really plays true to the Doctor Who universe that most Whovians will enjoy. Player Piano has been around for a few years and has covered many other types of themes from different types of fandoms. However, this is probably, in my opinion, one of the best adaptations that I've heard of the Doctor Who theme. And I would strongly suggest you go and follow her on YouTube under Player Piano so you can check out all these awesome covers that she does, especially this one in question. You will notice in this video specifically that she changes her costume a lot because she's changing into the many different doctors that has graced us over the many different years of the Doctor Who fandom. It could be anything from Capaldi to even Tom Baker's Doctor, which is pretty awesome to see. I myself have not been a complete Whovian over the years, with Capaldi being one of my first doctors besides Dr. Chalmers in Doctor Who Dark Journey. But it's great to have that type of fandom brought into something as simple as just someone playing a Doctor Who theme. She really brings together the entire fandom in a short 2-minute and 53-second video. Keep listening to the Doctor Who Show podcast with guest hosts Mike and Andrew for more awesome songs and other podcaster thoughts on fan-made music. Oh, and when Neil and Johnny come on, just ignore them, because they know nothing about the genre, TV shows, or even movies. Johnny once told me on the podcast that Han Solo flies the Galactica and Neil said that Mark Hamill was a Muppet, which is very weird, because the only human Muppet I know of in the Star Wars universe is Hayden Christensen. Sorry, I don't know any Doctor Who jokes, except for Mike and Andrew. So back to them.
And now, pigs in space!
All things fandom are interesting, especially when people go off and do their own version of things.
And make it their own, yeah.
But Everyone's done Star Trek and Star Wars and Doctor Who and all this kind of stuff. Other stuff is maybe not as popular, but it's still made by the rampant fans.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the music itself is something which really is, people are very much open to interpret it the way that they want. And people just seem to go hog wild for it. I don't know. I don't really know why hogs are going wild. I'd hate to see that because they can eat humans.
Can a hog
they're big pigs, aren't they?
Yeah, but I don't think that their teeth are able to, like...
Big pigs can eat humans.
Really?
Yeah, they can, of them can devour a human body in less than a day, and there's nothing left.
Well, how would they kill them, though?
They eat them.
No, but how would they get a human into a position where he'd be pinned down by
giant
hogs?
Talking, like, nefarious, gangsters. Gangster pigs. It's like, you know, you owe someone money.
With, like, machine guns?
Yeah, I don't know. You owe someone money, and you think, shit, I'm on the move.
Yeah.
You're walking along, the window goes down. It's Boss Hog. Sorry.
Right.
And he's like, you know, get in. Oh, next thing you know, get fed to the pigs.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mike might be like, wow, a pig driving a car. That's amazing.
I would be. I'd probably get in the car just to
Yeah, just to say,
him.
What's going on here?
Hang on, I've got my mic. Can we do a quick interview?
It's like an horrendous Tales from the Riverbank.
Yeah.
Remember that? Hammy Hamster?
I do remember Hammy Hamster. Yeah. Yeah. What was the episode? What episode did, was there a walking pig in Doctor Who? Which one was that?
Well, there's been a couple of pigs.
Oh.
And,
there we go.
Yeah, there we go. Aliens
one
of London.
That was the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they thought, like, I don't know, I'm not sure the reasoning of that.
Yeah, they just thought they'd have one in there.
Yeah, but Jimmy V, who plays him, is now the new R2-D2. The Daleks were messing about with pigs in Manhattan.
That's right.
Yeah, which almost sounds like a Muppets thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they were messing about with pigmen because they wanted to obviously maintain a low profile. So, you know.
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I tell you what, we're going to take over the world and everything. Now, let's just keep a low profile.
Where should we hide up?
Yeah.
Empire State Building?
Empire State Building. And then we'll mess about with it. We'll put bits of metal on it. Yeah. And then, okay, no one's going to notice that. Flying about, right? Uh-huh. And then, in order for us to blend right in, my son, we'll get some pigmen. Is this about music?
Somewhere.
Somewhere. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Pigs yeah.
Time is right, we will emerge and take our rightful place as the supreme power of the universe!
Hi, I'm Mark from the Tangent Bound Podcast, available at tangentboundnetwork.com. Doctor Who is something near and dear to my heart. While I may have joined the fandom late in the game, it has had an impact on my life like no other. And it's not just me. Doctor Who fandom has had an impact on many lives and on many levels. People who have been touched by the Doctor find ways to live out their own versions of the life of the Doctor, whether it be through cosplay at conventions or creating a Doctor Who-inspired musical number, fan fiction stories, communities online, forums, and groups all dedicated to Doctor Who, and even amazing audio dramas like Doctor Who Dark Journey, as well as fan films and fan parody songs out there on YouTube. It's so easy to do. And with the very flexible and very collaborative nature of its fan, everyone wants to be the Doctor, if not a companion, and the chance to board the TARDIS on their very own adventure. I even had the pleasure of lending my voice to AM Audio Media's Doctor Who Dark Journey because it allowed me to be a part of something amazing like Doctor Who. Doctor Who has become not only a huge fandom, but rather a large-scale way of life. I know, for me, that when an opportunity presents itself to partake in anything Doctor Who related, you better believe I'm going to jump on it. Now, if I was only half as talented as this guy, and by this guy I mean the track you're about to listen to by Tom Parsons on The Doctor Who Show,
I shall come back.
Have you never wondered where he came from?
The earth isn't my home, Sarah.
Who he is.
We all have a universe of our own terrors to face.
One of them, Sarah. All of them.
You are indeed a worthy opponent, Doctor. It's what gives your destruction its piquancy.
You, sir, are a nitwit.
No, they call me the Doctor. I'm the Doctor.
What Doctor? Doctor who?
I'm a Time Lord.
You will obey the Dalek.
There should have been another way.
A capsule that contains such power.
I travel in time and space.
It's the end.
What an extraordinary thing.
Wounds of madness!
Oh, the Doctor.
I see. What a wonderful butler. He's so violent.
Would you like a cherry, baby?
A man is the sum of his memories, you know. A Time Lord even more so.
The Doctor, beautiful. Trivia, Mr. Fibule? Trivia?
Who was that strange little man?
What, Doctor?
I have a time machine.
Yes. Why do I always let my curiosity get the better of me?
Wretched, impetuous child.
Madam, no! What year is this?
I have a first clarity of the neutron flow.
Machiavellian machination.
As easy as pie.
It's up the wing, sir.
I'll explain later.
My master.
Oh, my dear doctor, you have been nice.
No, not the mind probe.
Yes. There's nothing you can do to prevent the catharsis of spurious morality.
You deal in death, lies, treachery, murder are your currency.
Open the eye.
You know what life? Eureka!
No puns. Excellent.
Time has flowed by.
So sad.
I'll never get marked up.
The Asian child has never appreciated frivolity.
From writer-producer Andrew Chalmers of Dark Journey, who has nothing to do with this travesty of a production, comes Doctor Who, Dark Odyssey.
The name is Who? Doctor Who!
I'm the last of my time race of Gallifrey, adrift amongst the stars, a wanderer in the sixth dimension, alone. Except for you, Natalia.
Kiss me like you've never kissed me before. Oh. Oh. Oh.
Oh, yeah!
Well, well, my half-brother. The Doctor is back! More moral indignation to cast my way, ha-ha!
The only thing that is indignant about me is my indigestion.
What?
My indigestion, as in, you disgust me.
I don't get it.
I'm a Time Lord, and I'm here to say, I save the universe in the most unusual way. With my sonic rock and my psychic gun, I roam the universe killing alien scum. Alien scum, yeah, alien scum. I roam the universe killing alien scum.
If you think showrunner Stephen Moffat is ruining Doctor Who, wait till you hear what M.A. Tamburo does to this beloved science fiction franchise.
My power, my pleasure, my pain, baby.
Yeah!
Doctor Who, Dark Odyssey. It's magic.
I compare you to a kiss from a rose on the grave.
Oh, the more I get of you, the stranger it feels, yeah. And now that you're closest to the tulips, and then there's room and there's grayness and gloom, and the rain and the gray colors. I love Seal so much.
We'll be right back.
How's it going? It's DJ Johnny Rock from Drinking in the Park with my good pal,
Neil Young.
Neil Young. Not Neil Young, like the musical Neil Young, but the other Neil Young.
Well, I think people know I'm not the musical genius Neil Young.
Neil, Y-O-U-N-G, you're...
I'm Y-O-N-G-E.
So you're not the famous Canadian folk singer.
No, I'm not.
I know, you're tired. I know you're tired of explaining it to me, but no. People listening to the Doctor Who show, you know, out of Australia, they might not know, you know, that you're not the Neil Young. They think, oh, they're from Canada. He must be the Neil Young.
If anyone's familiar with the city of Toronto, there is a street. It's actually the longest street. Is it in North America or in the world?
Let's say the world.
Let's say the world.
Yeah, why not?
It's the longest street in the world. It's called Young Street.
Yeah.
And my name shares the spelling with that street, even though... Young Street, the spelling of the street, is a misspelling from a different spelling of Young. That isn't Y-O-U-N-G. So, you know, everyone's confused.
Oops. Oops.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Know? But anyways, that's not why we're phoning in. We want to, we know this episode is about music, the music of Doctor Who.
I love music.
I know that you do, even though you're not a folk singer. We want to give a shout out and a mention to one of our favorite Doctor Who composers. A lot of people are thinking Murray Gold. They're thinking, who else are they going to think?
Johnny Mnemonic.
No, Johnny Mnemonic is not like a Doctor Who guy.
No.
They're thinking all the famous composers of Doctor Who.
Pierce Brosnan.
Peter Howell.
Right.
Yeah. Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. Isn't he?
No.
Oh.
No. But my favorite Doctor Who composer is George Reed.
Ralph Nader.
No. I love what he did for Seatbelts, though.
Yeah, well.
Very brave.
Very brave.
Very brave. George Reed from the Illusion System, who is the guy who composed our theme song to Drinking in the Park.
I know George Reed. Yeah. George Reed is a prince among men.
Among chiptune men.
Yes.
He composes all kinds of cool chiptune themes and songs and fun stuff, and he's done some Doctor Who stuff, and he did our theme song, which is a mix of Doctor Who meets...
George Reed.
No, who's the boss?
Who's the boss?
I set you up there, and you're supposed
to
walk
into it.
Sorry,
I thought it was like because he wrote it. It was his sort of enigma variation.
Yeah. Well, anyways...
Elgar.
That's one of our favorite things about Doctor Who music. It's all the stuff that is out there that's not quite Doctor Who music. It's kind of like a fan take on it, you know, and it's done with a different style. So if you're into chiptunes, if you're into Doctor Who, check out the Illusion System on SoundCloud, and you're going to like what you hear. And if you like our theme song, you're going to like his other stuff. It is good stuff.
And Georgie, here's a shout-out to you, my friend. If you could do me a favor... I'd like to commission a work from you.
Oh, what's that?
I'd like my own theme music. I'd like my own chiptune theme music.
Well, you have your own. It's the beginning of Drinking in the Park. It's our theme song.
I want like my own, like the kind of music I can play in my head when I'm walking. And it's
like your own theme, like Neil's theme.
Theme music. I think you should have one too, John.
I could have one too, like a Roses theme. We'd have our own themes. Okay, all right. I'll get them on top of that. Okay, bye. Bye, Australia.
Bye, Australia. I want to come visit you soon and see your pretty blonde girls.
Yeah, we're going to stay at your place, Rob. Is that okay? Okay, don't answer us on the air because you might say no. Okay,
he
bye.
He won't mind.
I hope not.
No.
Towards the end of 2015, I knew that my current podcast, Who Wars, would be coming to an end, and I already had in mind what I wanted to do with what would become the Doctor Who show in the new year. And one thing I needed was a theme tune, and I knew I wanted an arrangement of the Doctor Who theme. And I went looking around on YouTube, and I found a guy called George Locke, who has the channel George C. Music. You can go and look him up. And in the middle of 2015, he had put out a piece with the description, "Nearly 3 years ago I asked, what if Vangelis did a Doctor Who theme? Now I dare to ask, what if one of the other greats of electronic music did one too?" And what he did was a version of the Doctor Who theme in the style of Jean-Michel Jarre, and not just any old Jean-Michel Jarre, but Jean-Michel Jarre doing Oxygen. This is one of my favourite pieces of music, primarily because when I was a young kid, I saw the Australian war film Gallipoli, and it's used extensively in that. And I thought, yes, yes, that is going to be the theme. And I got in touch with George, and he was very kind enough to do some different versions for me. So when you listen to the Doctor Who show, you hear a short version at the start, you hear a longer version at the end. Neither of those versions are the version on YouTube, which goes for 3 minutes 36 in total, if you go and look it up on the channel George C. Music. So he did a really nice favour for us there. It's a really great arrangement, and I'm happy to have talked about it here.
Hi, this is Dr. Squee and Dottie Who from the Gallifrey Stands podcast. We'd just like to thank, first of all, the Doctor Who show for including us in their special show about the music behind, shall we say, non-canonical Doctor Who audio dramas. I've never really thought in terms of music myself. When I would watch Doctor Who, the thing which I noticed on the surface were the great plots and the great stories. And it's only as I get older and watch them back that I realise how important the musical landscape was and still is. I think they've done a fantastic job with it in New Who. And even going back to the classic series, the kind of, for me, the musical suite from the Five Doctors really sort of sticks in my mind. And it's just so atmospheric. The music is what ties it all together. When I was writing the first of the audio dramas of the two that we've done so far, again, I was thinking in terms of literature, of the writing. Each scene I could just picture in my head so clearly. And it came to this one scene near the conclusion, and I was writing it, and I suddenly realised this scene just didn't make sense without a special effect and without music. And we recorded the audio drama and had this great guy called Dan Parkinson who'd agreed to record the music for us. And I listened back, and I listened back to that scene, and I just panicked because I was thinking that this scene just, yeah, it's just didn't make sense without any extra sound cues. And the other scenes, I realised, you know, would be elevated by the music and with the special effects. This one didn't exist without them. So first of all, I sent across to Mike Mann, who was doing our special effects. He added them, and it kind of just felt a bit more rich. You know, when people flicked buttons, you could hear them, things like that. And there were special effects around the dramatic moment near the end of the scene. It was seen in the TARDIS console room, and loads of different doctors were meeting each other. So we had the Dark Journey Doctor, geniusly played by Andrew Chalmers. You had my Doctor, you had another Doctor from another fan film called Alan Manning. The fan film's not called Alan Manning, that's the guy who's playing the Doctor in that one, a good friend of mine. And they would each dramatically say, "I am the Doctor." There was a musical bed which would play in the background. And the TARDIS is trying to repair itself after some time leaks. So this kind of, this is the sound of the TARDIS engines going. And I was listening back to it, and yeah, it just wasn't there. And I was deeply panicked because I don't think in terms of music, would this work? Like when we put the music underneath it, would it sound right? Sent off to the music guy, to Dan, and he was doing it scene by scene. And when he got to that one, he added the music, and all the music he had put underneath the various scenes had been wonderful. But this one, I heard it back, and it was wonderful, but the music was a little too light and a bit too jolly and a bit too playful. And I really panicked, because, you know, I just, like, I know now that you just have to be honest with people, and just, you know, I said to him it was a wonderful bit of music, but it needs to be a bit more serious, a bit more dramatic. And when he sent it back to me, I listened back, and the scene was there for the first time. I got goosebumps. Even with the more playful music, I could hear a scene was there. The tone wasn't quite right, but the scene was there suddenly. But when you hear it all together, it's just magical, and it just... Like, there was... It was my vision, but it also was more than my vision. It was more than I'd imagined for that scene. And in fact, like, I'll just play the scene for you now, so please enjoy this. This is from Doctor Who The Time Trap, written and performed, written by me, performed by me and Andrew and Adam, with music by Dan Parkinson, so please enjoy this.
Oh, thank you to both of you. Now, Brigadier, help my other self up. He'll know what to do. Leather Pants, switch the reset now.
I'm on it.
Orla, Fred?
Yes, Doctor.
Hang on to something. This is going to be a bumpy ride. I'm going to reverse the polarity to try and limit the distortions.
K-9, activate the reset.
The TARDIS is trying to activate the reset, but it's so confused. I'm rerouting all the power it has.
Come on, old girl, we've been through too much. From that first day in Gallifrey till now. So many centuries. This can't be where it all ends. Come on, sexy! It isn't working. The TARDIS is too weak. Doctors, one last try. Let's try and link telepathically so we can focus our psychic energies. Lend our combined strength to that of the TARDIS. Might just be enough. Contact.
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 And the Doctor.
I am 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 the Doctor. And you are the TARDIS. Come on! So that was the first audio drama we did. A year later, when I was doing the follow-up, Doctor Who, Death at Christmas, I was suddenly, for the first time, I was thinking in terms of special effects and in terms of music. So whereas before, I would put in the music as an afterthought. And, you know, Dan would ask me, how do you want the music to sound? Where do you want the music? And I give him like a very, very bad, rough kind of like, oh, like a little musical sting here and a bit of a longer bit of music here, and that would be cool here. The second time I was really thinking about it, and it was really important to me. And as opposed to ending scenes on a cutting bit of dialogue and a sharp musical sting, the dialogue, of course, I like to think was still sharp, but I was thinking, it's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had like a little bit of a longer musical moment here, so we could really feel like you're going, transitioning from one scene to another, you're just not just bouncing between them. Second story was a very different type of story, so it needed that kind of thing, because we went to different places. The first audio drama I wrote was more of a bottle episode, if you like. And again, it just got to this bit at the end. And I was trying to give an exit to the story. And I knew the dialogue I wanted the characters to say. But I didn't have any kind of like zinger end line. So I came up with this idea of them talking and walking off into the distance. So they'd got through the dialogue, which was necessary for the story. They got to the conclusion of the story. And as they were walking towards the door, they had some dialogue, which I made a bit playful, and I decided they could fade out and the music could fade in. Straight off the bat, Dan knocked it out of the park. He came up with this wonderful, soaring bit of music which just elevated everything. And so it wasn't the dialogue, the way that I was used to thinking, which brought us out of that. It was the music. And just to name two kind of bits of music that he did at the end of each of those dramas is almost selling him short, because he did do such a fantastic job throughout both of them. That's Dan Parkinson at Wooden Heart Recording Studios in Hampshire. So if you're after any music for anything, please do get in touch with him, or get in touch with me and I can put you in touch with him. And I'll play for you now the end scene from Doctor Who, Death at Christmas.
You were right. I need to say goodbye to pay my respects to Dad. But then I want to come with you. Not just to have more time, not just to run away, but because I want to. You've given me a taste of what's out there, and I want more.
Who am I to argue? Now, shall we?
Of course. Actually, this has worked out perfectly. Whilst we're here, we can pick up Dotty.
Oh, no. No dogs allowed on the TARDIS.
But you got on so well with Dotty.
Yes, to visit. I am not a dog person.
We'll see.
If she leaves my console... Thank you very much again for the Doctor Who Show for inviting me on to talk about my experience of music in my particular audio play. To think how music really makes an audio drama.
Summon the light. Summon the light. Summon the light. Summon the light.
Summon the light.
Summon the light.
Summon the light.
Summon the light.
Oh, Mother, your child is our sacrifice.
No sacrifice at all.
No, Anthony, no, my baby.
No sacrifice at all.
Hey, the Doctor Who Show, DJ Johnny Rock in the house. I'm going to play for you a Wayback Playback from 1972 featuring John Pertwee, who answers the question, Doctor Who? No, he says, I am the Doctor. He doesn't say, I am the Doctor Who. He says, I am the Doctor. You know what it's about. Finally, some fan work from the star of this show.
I cross the void beyond the mind, the empty space that circles time. I see where others stumble blind, to seek a truth that they never find. Eternal wisdom is my guide. I am the Doctor. Through cosmic waste the TARDIS flies, to taste the secret source of life. A present science can't deny exists within, outside, behind the latitude of human minds. I am the Doctor. My voyage dissects the course of time. Who knows, you say, but are you right? Who searches deep to find the light that glows so darkly in the night? Toward that point guide my feet. As fingers move to end mankind, metallic teeth begin their grind. With sword of truth, I turn to fight the satanic powers of the night. Is your faith before your mind? Know me, am I the Doctor?
Canine computer.
Keep screaming, girl, just hurt.
Ouch. Non-chart-topping, universally panned, and actually banned from BBC Radio because of its poor quality, that was 1985's Doctor in Distress, the Frankenstein synth-pop vomit of unofficial Doctor Who continuity advisor Ian Levine and Fichera Trench. When production of the series was suspended for a year and cancellation seemed likely, this song was put together to change the BBC's mind and raise some money for charity. Sounds like a good idea, right? It was to feature Holly Johnson, the Village People, and Elton John. Except, as you may have noticed, it didn't. Instead, it was performed by some, singers, calling themselves Who Cares? Which actually makes perfect sense, because, well, yeah. Also on the vocals are Colin Baker, Nicholas Courtney, Nicola Bryant, and Music Master of Ceremonies Anthony Ainley? For the Doctor Who Show, I'm DJ Johnny Rock. And here's Andrew Chompers, star of Doctor Who Dark Journey, with his musical metal debut, with a song composed and performed by Clayton Turner.
Thanks very much for that. Well, that about wraps it up for our special guests.
Indeedy.
Yeah, along with my good friend Andrew Chalmers.
Thank you, and my very good friend Mike Tamboro.
So thanks for listening to our special episode of The Doctor Who Show from Canada.
Yes.
Yeah.
Part of the Commonwealth that encompasses, which is not a word, Australia, New Zealand, Jamaica, and...
Dixie's Midnight Runners.
Dixie's Midnight Runners and Narnia.
Okay, so you can get in touch with the Doctor Who Show on Twitter.
Yes.
At the DW Show. If you want to talk to Andy and I, contact us at AM Audio Media.
Absolutely.
On Twitter.
Absolutely.
And special thanks to all of our contributors again. Be sure to listen to the official Doctor Who Show podcast. Until then, I'm Emma Timbro.
And I'm Andrew Chalmers, ending our fan music special where it all started with one of the first fan music tracks ever. Ooh, the opening theme to the... I know it's impressive. The opening theme to the unofficial audio drama series, Audio Visuals, featuring Nicholas Briggs, arranged by none other than Joseph Kenny.
Shall we step back in time and boogie?
Let's boogie and tango down the corridors of time. I don't know why I said that.
You know what I love about Doctor Who fan music? I'll tell you. I love how everybody uses the stings, because the stings are the most, to me, the most magical part of the Doctor Who theme, and I love how fans kind of pop it in there at the right time.
I love the... What do you mean the right time? It's at the beginning, isn't
it? Yeah, well, that's the right time to put it in there.
Well, the middle eight.
Yeah. Or the beginning, or the ending, where the boom!
Yeah.
What's your favorite sting?
The lead singer of The Police.
Second favorite?
I would say Tom Baker's last season.
Yeah.
And therefore Peter Davison and Colin Baker's and Sylvester McCoy's. Because they all had that kind of thing. It was... And I like it to almost hurt your ears.
Yeah.
I think it should really... Yeah, because usually through a lot of the McCoy stuff, I was sleeping.
Yeah.
So it's good, like, to... and then you're like, oh, my God, I'm into this thing with the chick from Dynasty.
Wait. Why were you sleeping through the Pierre...
Sylvester McCoy.
Sylvester McCoy.
Just because of narcolepsy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to make sure that you weren't, you know, disrespecting the McCoy.
No, I'm not disrespect. I can't even speak today. No, I'm just saying that sometimes I just fall asleep during things.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Andrew?
What? Oh, sorry.
You drifted off to sleep.
I drifted there off there. Second. Yeah, I drifted off there. Yeah. Okay. I find a lot of people do the same thing reading, you know, our stuff, but I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah.
So that's my, I love the opening things. They've got to be big and a little bit kind of like, wow, it's kind of almost uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You don't want people bleeding from the ears.
No.
What about you?
Well, you know, I'm fond of the stings, but I really have to say one of my favorite things, I think, is when fans do things for a good reason. Like when we did the charity version of the Doctor Who theme.
Yeah.
The a cappella one. I don't know if you feel comfortable recreating it here now, but I think that that's maybe something. I don't know, maybe the listeners. The orphans might appreciate it. Give a little kick to the orphans. Kick over to the orphans.
There's nothing like orphan humor to get past. To get past that, is there?
I'm kind of springing this on you here, but I mean, if you're comfortable.
Well, I knew you'd ask me this, and in preparation, I've been eating pure honey for a week.
Oh.
Just to get the vocal cords.
Okay, all right.
I'm pretty good.
All right, let's do it. You ready?
Okay. Who's doing the sting? Because I know we argue
about
this.
You're doing the sting.
I'm doing the sting?
I'll let you do the sting.
Okay,
sting.
Okay,
go.
Okay.
Somebody's face. Here's my face.
Well, not somebody's, one of the doctors. Elizabeth Taylor's face. And all that kind of stuff. Yeah. That was good.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Well, you just said someone's face.
Well,
and I'm like, the doctors, like, not just
one of their faces.
John Forsythe from Dynasty. I'm addicted to 80s soap opera references.
What's going on today?
I'm asleep. That was good.
Andrew?
That was good.
Andrew, you're talking in your sleep again.
I know, I fell asleep during a Colin Baker episode. That was good. Take that, Hardwire.